This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up at 6:20, we have a sports hodgepodge, but it's time right now to talk Texas Rangers baseball here. And Jared Sandler joining you, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. And a good evening, Sands. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Happy off day for the Rangers. We are a week away from playing a baseball game at Globe Life Field and a little over a week away from playing a game at Globe Life Field that actually matters.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Now, which one of the games back at the Globe is going to be the DeGrom special that people want to see?
Well, I don't know that he's going to start. If they stick to their plan, he'll start the opener in Cincinnati, the fifth game of the year. Now, you know, when they announced that that was their intention, Cody Bradford and John Gray were both in the rotation. So I don't know that it would change their plans. I don't know that it needs to change their plans, but I guess it could. But if their plans don't change, then Jacob DeGrom won't start at home until his second start, I believe.
Well, I thought I read, Jared, and I could be wrong here, that he was going to pitch one of these exhibition games back at the Globe before the season starts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking regular season. I apologize.
No, my
guess is he would start the Monday game, which would be the night game. That would allow him basically a week to get ready for his next start. So that's my guess. But yeah, he would, if he is going to start the fifth game, he would start obviously Monday or Tuesday for his final tune-up.
So you mentioned it with Gray and Bradford out now. Very unfortunate. Is it as easy as saying it's a rocker and lighter in here, or what all goes into that, and where are they in the decision-making?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So I think Jack Leiter's in there. I think they just philosophically have to ask what they want to do with Kamar Rocker. You also now have to consider what your bullpen needs to look like and how do you make sure you have the right pieces in the bullpen, because already with DeGrom, with Mally, and if you add in Rocker with Rocker, you're going to have three guys who you probably are going to play it more conservatively with. With Leiter, you might not feel the need to be as conservative, but you know he's probably not in a position where you can rely on six innings yet until he shows you he can work efficiently through a lineup a couple of times, which he has shown signs this spring of being able to do that with an improved repertoire and an improved ability to throw strikes, but it's spring training, right? So you need to make sure you've not only got one long man who can piggyback you might not even only need two. You might need to have three guys who are able to go multiple innings if you have Kamar Rocker in there. If you have Adrian Hauser in the rotation, maybe you don't feel as compelled to be as conservative with him, and that might allow you a little more flexibility in your bullpen. There's so many different ways to go about it. A lot of people have asked about signing Lance Lynn or Kyle Gibson, and that's great. Those guys probably wouldn't be ready to start right away, but that leads you down the money path. And because the Rangers don't want to exceed the luxury tax threshold for a third straight year to incur the compiling penalties, it's not just as simple as signing Lance Lynn or as simple as signing Kyle Gibson. You got to make sure that the money works, and you probably have to shed salary. Well, how can they shed salary? Well, one idea was trading John Gray. Well, that's not really an option now. Another idea was trading Tyler Mahle. Well, you can do it, but it doesn't really make sense when you're in need of a starting pitcher or starting pitchers to trade one of the guys you have who's healthy. And then that leads you to Leody Taveras. So will there be a Leody Taveras trade between now and opening day? The injuries to Bradford and Gray might make the Rangers a little more aggressive in making a move like that if they need to add salary to try and supplement their pitching.
When it comes to Rocker, Jared, what is it that he's not doing well, and how fixable is it?
Yeah, it's tough to say, Eric. Obviously, the mechanics are fixable because, it's not like this is a guy who's never shown the ability to throw strikes. This is a guy who absolutely, has shown the ability at the big league level, especially to have quality command, quality control. It's not unusual for a young guy to battle this sort of thing. The question I have, we oftentimes use, well, it's Arizona, and it's tougher to pitch in Arizona. I don't want to say as an excuse, but as a reason as to why maybe a pitcher is off in spring training. It was 100% appropriate for Cole Hamels. For whatever reason, Cole Hamels was like the worst pitcher ever when he pitched in Arizona, whether it was in an A game, whether it was against minor leaguers, and it didn't work for him here. But for some guys, it's not really a fair excuse. And I think the question is, with Kamar Rocker's breaking ball and the inconsistencies he had early on, was that just strictly mechanical? Did that have something to do with Arizona? Was he trying to overcompensate because the ball wasn't moving as much in bullpens prior to taking the mound? It's tough to know. One thing I do know about Kamar Rocker, I mean, this is a guy who comes from a football background, obviously, a football family, and he's got that, like, I'm a gamer mentality, and I don't really have concerns when the lights turn on that this guy's not going to be prepared to show up. The only question I have is, I'd like Kamar Rocker to be pitching meaningful innings for me in August and September and even October, because I think this guy's a badass SOB. I don't want to use up all these innings in April and May if I feel like I've only got a certain cap on him. So I think that's one of the questions the Rangers have to answer when it comes to Kamar Rocker's placement to start the season. I do think, though, that this has opened the door for him to be in the rotation, whereas prior to John Gray's injury, I don't think there was really much of a chance. And the other thing that works in his favor is, let's say the Rangers wanted to put Adrian Hauser on the major league roster. They now have to commit more money to him. He is not here on a major league deal, and money is tight. They don't have to commit more money to Kamar Rocker. That money is already accounted for on the books. So that's something that he has going for him.
Jared, who is the guy that is playing himself on the roster that they probably didn't think was going to be here when this thing all started?
Boy, well, I think one guy, I guess this is a cop-out answer, the first one. Kevin Pillar or Sam Haggerty. I think one of those two guys makes the team. I think Ezekiel Durant starts in AAA. So I think Kevin Pillar, Sam Haggerty. Patrick Murphy's the pitcher.
Yeah.
When I saw Patrick Murphy added to the organization, I thought, okay, cool. This is a guy that gets some innings, start in AAA, and maybe something clicks. He's been really good. And it's tough to ignore what he's done when you have a need for pitching. And he might be a perfect fit as a bullpen guy who can give you multiple innings, a piggyback type, long reliever type. And that door has been open because it seems like the Rangers aren't too pumped about Dane Dunning right now. He's not coming off a good year, and he hasn't had a good camp. And some of the things that necessarily don't show up in the box score have turned the Rangers of the mindset that, You know, he hasn't maybe earned a spot yet, at least according to the message sent by Chris Young pretty directly when speaking to the media the other day. And so that might open the door for a guy like Patrick Murphy, who, you know, last year was Jacob Latz. I don't know that Jacob Latz was anywhere close to being an odds-on favorite to make the roster on opening day, and he did. And I think Patrick Murphy's a guy, along with either Pilar or Sam Haggerty, who probably would fit that category this year.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. Jared, obviously things are very matchup oriented, and who's hot, who's not. But what is sort of your biggest question about this lineup coming into the season right now?
Well, I think in general, like a question in terms of concern, I just want to know, you know, what the Rangers are going to look like against lefties, and are they going to be able to be as competitive against lefties as they are against righties? Because, you know, it's probably not going to feature Jock Peterson. And if it does, Jock Peterson, you know, his performance, you know, hasn't shown that he's going to be as competitive against lefties. What is Evan Carter going to look like against lefties? You know, it seems like the Rangers have an extra outfield spot they would need to fill against lefties. What is all that going to look like? That's, you know, that's a question. Corey Seager can hit the crud out of lefties, but he's not as good against lefties as he is against righties. That's not saying he's not good against lefties, but his numbers do drop a little bit against lefties. It's still at a level that's like close to all-star caliber, just, you know, in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest question, not a concern, just a curiosity, is who's the leadoff hitter on June 1st? Is it Marcus Semien, or have they made a change? And what does the lineup look like? Who's protecting Corey Seager? Where's Wyatt Langford hitting? Those are some of the questions I have. I think Bruce Bochy's got a lot of options. You know, I think that leadoff spot, if Marcus Semien can bounce back to 23 form, great. Hey, that's your leadoff hitter, and everything else falls in place. What happens if he doesn't? And even if Marcus is good, you know, he's never been a huge on-base guy. You know, he's not a guy who's going to get on base 38% of the time. So Marcus can be good, but be a 330 on base guy. And that's maybe not the guy you want leading off. And so I'm just curious what the leadoff spot's going to look like here once we get going. I think he'll be the leadoff hitter to start the season. I'm going to put all my chips in the middle on that. I think he'll be the leadoff hitter to start the season, though. What sort of a leash does he have before the Rangers move things around? Because I'll say this. Last year, I don't know that they had many great options other than Marcus Semien. This year, I think you can justify a few different options and a few different ways to structure your lineup if Marcus isn't the leadoff hitter.
It's Jared Sandler here with you on The Fan. So, you know, I look at this center field situation, and it is unfortunate, but I just don't feel like it's sustainable or a wise use of resources to have two guys that can't hit left-handers, and I don't have faith that that's going to resolve itself, Sandler. It just seems like a move there is maybe a little overdue.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Gavin. I think with the Evan Carter situation is really unique. Just, and I think I might have explained this to you guys, and I don't want to bore everyone with all the details, but just the way he advanced through the system in combination with the injuries when he was in the upper levels, he just has had such little experience and exposure to high-level left-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. Most guys get to face lefties in AA or AAA about three to four more times, three times more often than Evan Carter did. So when they come up to the big leagues, there's at least a little more of a track record upon which they can build. He just doesn't have that. But you're right. I think it makes Leody Taveras' place on the roster an odd fit. Now, one of the questions that's been asked here recently is Evan Carter a lock to make the team? And there has not been a yes, he's absolutely on the roster type of commitment. Now, I think that he is a likely candidate to be on the roster. I think he is likely your starting center fielder against righties. I'm not sure what they're going to do against lefties yet. But one thought is, hey, if you're not pumped with his camp, other than the 2-month stretch he had in 23, which, yes, it did help bring you a World Series, but if you take the context out of it, it's 2 months. We know a lot of players who have had good 2 months. Doesn't mean they're ready for 162. And, you know, it's tough to know about last year because he was fighting through a back thing. But take that, you know, out of the equation. The numbers weren't good. And so I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, would he benefit from going down to AAA facing righties and lefties and then getting called up when there's a need. And you wouldn't bury him down there. The only question is, it's not like Leody Taveras has inspired you to where you're like, yeah, we're good with Leody right now. It's a logjam in center. No. It's kind of more what you were suggesting, Gavin. It's two guys who haven't shown the ability to hit lefties, and it's not like either guy is shouting from the rooftops to, the baseball world saying, look at me, you know, I'm an all-star type player yet. But the difference is with Leody, we don't feel like he's got that ceiling. With Evan Carter, I think a lot of people believe he's got all-star type ceiling.
I know Sean and RJ asked you about this morning, but the Joey Gallo stuff, maybe making the switch to pitching. How did you react to that news?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised, and I was able to chat with Joey briefly yesterday, and I think, you know, obviously this is what he wants to do. It's not like someone forced him to do this, and Joey has always been a guy who is very aware of perception. So, you know, he was always aware that he was a polarizing player because there were some fans who loved the home run on base approach, other fans that couldn't stand it when they look at his batting average. It started with a 2 and a 0 or maybe a 1 and a 9 or below that. I think there's a reason why a lot of people were concerned when he was traded to New York that he wouldn't be able to deal with that pressure because of the awareness. And, I don't know what led to all this over the last couple of years, but he has gotten, stuck in quicksand as a hitter. And I think mentally he is, maybe not loved the game as much as he used to. And I think this is a change for Joey to reset, to clear his head a little bit. He didn't rule out returning to a position player and maybe just taking a break from the daily grind of trying to figure out how to hit pitching is what he needs. But, I salute him. This is not a guy who needs to do this. You know, he could retire today. He's made plenty of money. He's, a two-time All-Star. He can go. He's a dad now. He can go and live an awesome life, for the next 60 years, 70 years. But he loves baseball, and he wants to play. He wants to compete. He wants to contribute. And he's willing to go down to A-ball, to AA, to AAA, and go back through that process as a post-ARB free agent major leaguer with 2 All-Star games to his name, right? You just don't see that very often. And so I salute him for doing this. I know that, I've talked to a lot of people in the baseball world, and they're fired up, to support him. Joey's a really well-liked guy. He is a very lovable guy, and there are going to be a lot of people rooting for him. And I think a lot of people with the Rangers will certainly be in line to support him. And I'm curious to see where he ends up. I don't know. Maybe he ends up pitching for the Rangers one day. But he's got a great arm. It takes more than just a great arm these days, but I'd love to see what he looks like on the mound.
Well, I just want to say I've been super impressed with the way you've appeared on television. The face, I mean, when we went to Surprise and you were eating like a rabbit might, eating very, very clean. Your face, the jawline, it's all working right now for you. You're dialed. I'm not even asking you. I'm just telling you. Proof's in the pudding.
No, I'm 20 pounds down. I don't know how much longer I can sustain this because I've been looking at some pizza. And it's really tough to hold off, but I'm holding strong right now. I'm following the Eric Chiafalo plan, and it's working. Those slates, Eric, those slates are doing a number. I love them.
Hey, I'm curious. Could you sneak me in next week? I imagine is a little taste of Globe Life Field. You get a sneak peek at the new concession items. I'm trying to see if you can sneak me in.
That might be the day that I let it all go and decide.
Yes,
Yeah, you're a beloved figure in the Rangers organization, Eric. I think you could just walk right in. You'll be just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to text you. We'll arrive at the same time. I'm looking forward to that.
Let's do it.
Sounds good, Jared. Thank you.
See you, fellas.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, a must-follow for Rangers fans everywhere. Brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. Sports Hodgepodge time, Chief. What's in store?
The craziest baseball celebration I've ever seen. We have some March Madness stuff for you, and we also have some around the MLB new concession items. Not Globe Life Field, but these are some good ones. We'll grade the concession items next right here on The Fan.
Here we go, Nation. Hope you're having a good Monday. Rangers are off today, by the way. They'll be back in action tomorrow, and I believe that's an evening start tomorrow night as we inch our way closer to opening day, which is next Thursday here on The Fan. You know, Jared Sandler joins us every night, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration, one-day hair loss solution at advancedhair.com. It's time now for the Chief to deliver a sports hodgepodge. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And it is brought to you by our friends at the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's the Chief.
Okay, 877-881-1053. Did you see the crazy baseball celebration in college baseball this weekend? We have some March Madness stuff for you.
This is the Michigan one?
This was the Michigan one.
Guy got a triple?
Guy hits a triple.
Oh, I did see this.
This is Mitch Voit, and some are saying he may have changed the game of baseball forever with what looked to be a bit of a, it was a chalk snort after hitting a triple. He slides into third base. His helmet goes flying off his head, and then right there on the third baseline, he acted like he was banging a rail off of it.
Man, it's crazy to me as somebody that grew up in the 80s and into the 90s how casual the world's gotten about blow. Isn't this crazy?
Yes, it is crazy. It absolutely is crazy because I've always had a genuine fear of anything going up my nose. Like the COVID test stuff brought us when you're at DallasCowboys.com and you're getting a stick shoved up into your brain. The idea of that is insane. I remember kids banging salt rails off the cafeteria table, pixie sticks. Let's take this up a notch.
Yeah.
At no point did I feel ever enticed that I want something to go up my nose. Some places are exits only. The nose to me is one of those, unless it's my finger. But that's not, I'm not going all the way up in there.
I wasn't opposed to putting stuff up my nose, Chief, but cocaine did scare the hell out of me.
It did, right?
Okay, so that wasn't one of them that many times.
They used to strike fear into you with it, but now they glorify just the fun.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I suppose back in the 60s and 70s, even before that, it was considered less of a social taboo. But to grow up in the DARE program and the crack epidemic and everything in the news being like, this is the cause of so much violence and pain and suffering and your parents to completely lose their minds. You want to stay away from this, you know, to have it be something we're joking about so much. You know, it's kind of crazy. And this Dexter one about him being a kid, he scores cocaine for his little sister, Deb. You know, it's like, oh, sure. Yeah.
Wow. Deb,
I'm the grown up getting my little sister cocaine for her high school party. It's
beer
kind of
is one thing, but yeah, full on blow is a whole different level.
It is wild.
The execution of this particular rail banging celebration was pretty impressive, though.
Yeah,
and
happened in all one motion.
Yeah, it was fluid.
Like he knew exactly what he was doing.
This is an experience.
I'm gonna snort the baseline, dude.
Watch this, dog. My next triple. Just watch. Watch what happens next.
I mean, if that happened in the NFL, that's a one-game suspension and $20,000 fine.
No question. Yeah. I mean, you can get the three pump minimum when you're
three
going
pump minimum.
But there's no snort minimums. It's just zero.
Yeah.
And
no tolerance for that, huh?
It's a zero tolerance policy. I do have to imagine how much. Drug testing is the NCAA doing for their athletes, because this is a surefire you're met at the locker with the drug test.
Yeah, this guy's season's over, guaranteed that. Not for the celebration, but for the dirty P test he's going to crank out here.
He went out with a bang. He really did.
I've never
seen a snorting celebration in any sport. At no point have I seen somebody by way of celebration mimic a snorting of any kind.
You know, on a pure badassery and creativity scale, I got to give it up for him.
There is a 10 out of 10 factor to this. Uh-huh. There's plenty of downside, and we don't want to glorify it.
No, you don't.
But there is an impressive nature to the creativity, and again, the execution was just truly flawless.
I mean, we had this is your brain on drugs with the egg in the frying pan. I'm sure you've seen that a few times in your day.
Yes.
You remember the I don't know, it kind of feels like a meme at this point, but the idea that you know, the cocaine would put holes in your brain.
Yeah.
Your brain would look like a piece of Swiss cheese. Yeah. If you did it for a couple of years.
Yeah,
there was a lot of hardcore bad cocaine branding going on.
Scarface the movie. What potentially could happen to you? That kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes. Of course, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah.
You know, Ray Liotta, the final 45 minutes of that film was just a complete sad catastrophe as a result of cocaine.
We have a full-on movie just simply titled Blow featuring Johnny Depp.
Yeah, does that look fun?
About the first maybe 45 minutes or so of the movie looks like a hell of a time, but yeah. After that it gets disastrous. 877-881-1053. What's the best cocaine movie going?
I know over the last 13 years we've had all these states legalize cannabis, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, cannabis was unfortunately and erroneously put in the same category as cocaine and other what were called Schedule One drugs. Like, this is the hardcore stuff. Now that we've opened up the gate, the velvet rope for the Marahuchi, as Galloway called it, for just kind of come on through, we can't be letting everything through with it.
Right.
You know, we got kids to worry about.
Someone's saying, a couple of people texting in, what about the CD Lamb finger sniff?
That's what I was kind of wondering.
But
where's that come?
Yeah, it's a nose wipe.
Okay, I was wondering where that came from.
Just simply wiping his nose.
Yeah, and I wipe that person out. When I shake on a score and wipe them out.
See, I always thought too that when the defensive backs did the cross, I didn't know it was a seatbelt. I thought it was like a sword.
Samurai sword.
I thought it was a sword that they were putting away. That's what I thought.
Nice
that
two-hander.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Trevor Bauer's bid, I think, with the samurai sword. Mm. He's going back in.
Now, what's the one? Is this the three sleeve? When the NBA players are pointing to their arm with their three fingers like that, I think they're pointing to a three sleeve. Or is that the ice water in their veins? I'm not sure on this one, but you'll see it about 20 times a game.
Yeah, you do see that quite a bit. And I'm not 100% sure. But that is definitely a common celebration in the NBA these days. Wolf of Wall Street says the 940 best cocaine movie of all time.
Cocaine Cowboys.
Cocaine Cowboys. Yes. Yes. Those documentaries are pretty incredible. Now you have, let's see, a lot of people texting in, American Made, Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, that's when he's a pilot bringing it in, right? Is that right?
I haven't seen the movie. I'm just okay.
American
showing
Made.
Love to the
text. I think he's a smuggler.
Okay, yeah, we actually have some egg smuggling going on right now. I saw the headline about that.
Is that hot?
With the egg shortages that we're dealing with and the prices.
Wow.
I guess apparently they're seizing a lot of smuggled eggs at the borders.
Okay.
So it's hard to come by just a good, high quality, nutrient dense egg these days.
I'm kind of surprised on that note that you haven't become home chicken egg farmer.
If it was up to my wife, I think our HOA won't allow it.
Oh.
But my wife is 100% would love, like, if we could snap our fingers and she'd be on a farm surrounded by cattle and whatnot, she'd be 100% in on that. But people,
it's a lot of work.
American you glorify made. Something that is big time hard work.
Tom Cruise, 2017. He's a smuggler.
American oh, okay. Made. All right. Let's see. We've got Rat
that seems tough
in
smuggling.
Blow.
You know, you need a lot of freight square footage.
Yeah, isn't that the one that is a movie about Tom Thumb? They basically help him smuggle it. Like every time he gets caught, they kind of sweep it under the rug type vibes. It's about a real person, right?
Oh, I got the Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Tom, he's got like a Bonanza to a prop. He's like a small plane, and he's bringing it in and he's dropping it in Louisiana. He's not dropping it in Florida, he's dropping it. It's about
Barry Seal. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Recruited by the CIA to make this all happen.
Yeah,
I remember that movie now. Yeah,
like the,
fascinating.
Like this guy,
entrapment.
Like the smugglers want him. To like the guy to fly with him, he's like, no, I can't carry him with the weight and all that stuff. Like, so it's a really good story. Yeah.
469 chicken owner here. It is absolutely not cheaper to raise chickens for eggs. All right.
A lot of work too. Got to clean them coops out all the time.
Yeah,
I'm totally out. My buddy had a chicken coop as a kid, and it was
not good.
Plus, they get out and the dogs kill them.
Yes,
you know.
There was a disaster one time. We went to a family friend's house, and they had chickens. And my older brother did the thing that we were repeatedly told not to do, which was open the dog gate. And there was just feathers everywhere. And my mom was just crying. Because her best friend's chickens had just been...
I'm so sorry.
...been taken.
My kid, I can't take these boys anywhere.
Yeah, dude. That was one that she still laughs about. A lot of Coke movies coming in. You've got the American Air Vietnam movie, 903. You got Casino, of course, in the 440, Blow, Scarface, Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear.
Rangers players had a good time trying to remake that movie.
White Boy Rick.
White Boy Rick.
Yeah.
Good call, Lucius. Deep Cover.
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown.
Quentin Tarantino movie right there, moving that coke around.
Plenty of it. Plenty of it to go around. All right, a little March Madness for you before we grade the concession items around Major League Baseball. Tom Izzo on people over the years telling him he's never happy. Quote, you're damn right. And I don't plan on being happy until we accomplish what I think MSU should accomplish. He's got his guys right where they want them. They're a scrappy bunch. He doesn't have a bunch of super talented dudes, but you're going to be in a dogfight for 40 minutes when you play that squad. And I think it's one of those things where Tom Izzo kind of secretly loves the fact that they didn't win their conference championship just to light a fire under his guys. He's just ripping into them right now.
He is insane.
He is.
He's a legend, too. There's still some active legends. Bruce Pearl's one of them.
Yeah.
Fun to see him in his bag.
And then Rick Pitino is the guy that I'm falling more and more in love with. He cracks me up. And I saw something like he is such an unbelievable culture builder. He shows up to these programs and they're perpetually under 500 when he gets there. And in year one, he gets them over 500 every single time. And then by year two under Rick Pitino, he has taken over an under 500 program. And then by year two, it's 20-plus games across the board that they're winning, including this year with St. John's. He took over. They were above 500. That's the one team that he's taken over that was above 500 the year before. They were 18-15. But in year one, they win 20 games. And then this year, 26 games.
Yeah.
This dude is just so impressive with the way that he's able to arrive at a place and then pretty much overnight, within 2 years, have them 20-plus wins and in the tournament.
And I feel like he does it the right way. You know, it's you can microwave success in college basketball, but are you a master of the tactics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can you develop players? And he does both of those things incredibly well.
Now we have Darren Revelle has gone around Major League Baseball and unveiled some of the newest concession items. We start in San Francisco. You can get a 98-ounce souvenir bat of popcorn with free refills for $23. So it's just the souvenir
aspect
of it. Stadium
popcorn doesn't do anything for me. I always think it's really overly stale.
It is stale. It can be.
We don't have
a
shelf life for that.
Opening day popcorn, much better than August popcorn
for sure
at the park.
Yeah.
What makes this a souvenir popcorn, though, for $23?
It's a 98-ounce souvenir bat. San Francisco Giants bat. So
That's worth it.
You might be able to play wiffle ball with that thing, to be honest with you.
I'd give it a shot.
At the Pirates games in Pittsburgh, you can get the Polish cannonball. These are egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage, bacon, cheddar cheese, and herb crema dip. And they're fried. It's like fried balls of goodness.
That sounds amazing. Oh. Bringing chefs out here to these ballparks these days.
I didn't know if the cabbage was going to have you just saying thanks, but no thanks on that.
I can do cabbage.
Can't? Okay, yeah. Cool. And it probably hides well amidst the egg noodles and the kielbasa.
Sounds amazing.
You have in Kansas City at the Royals games, you have the Z-Man sandwich. This is a slow smoked beef brisket, smoked provolone, topped with two crispy onion rings on a toasted Kaiser roll.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That thing in Kansas City, you can have respect for it when it comes to their barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
They're not
messing around.
They're not reaching on that. Mm-hmm. And I like the onion ring. Lucius, you're an onion ring guy. The onion ring on the burger, the onion ring on the sandwich.
Yeah, does that do anything on the burger, not on the sandwich.
Okay, the burger. Yep.
Is that a Sonic thing? Do we get Sonic do the onion rings on burgers? Have we done that
I'm
before?
I'm sure they do. They're definitely one of the league leaders in fast food onion rings, I would say.
It's good innovation. Yeah. It's good marketing gimmick.
This is the one that I think is really going to tickle Dawson. This isn't filthy. S'mores quesadilla. This is a dessert quesadilla.
What's
Nutella,
going on here?
Okay. Mini marshmallows, graham cracker crumble in a crispy flour tortilla served with a chocolate dipping sauce.
Oh, wow. So is there a graham cracker inside the tortilla then?
Yes, basically made a
s'more
inside of a quesadilla. Inside of a tortilla, exactly.
Can we add a scoop of ice cream?
See, I was going to say, I think if you had the hot-cold mix here, because I'm assuming these things are going to be coming out nice and warm. If you had the bluebell vanilla or something, or would you want to layer in ice? I guess you couldn't really layer in the ice cream.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, is it if a quesadilla, then it's got the s'more filling inside.
Yes, you have the marshmallows melted
in there.
So you have
the triangles, and then, okay, yeah. With ice cream, yeah, that would be really good, kind of like shingle it around the ice cream in that in the
ooh,
middle.
Ooh. That's a really the presentation factor alone.
Yeah.
Extra $5.
There you go.
Yeah. In Houston you can get the Daddy Mac Dog. This is a foot long Angus beef frank.
Yeah.
chopped brisket on top of that.
Hello.
So you have a double protein situation. Okay. Then you have macaroni and cheese, barbecue sauce, and crispy dill pickle as well. Actually, it looks like fried pickles.
Yeah.
The chips.
Yeah.
Smattered over top of it.
Okay.
So if you're into pickles, obviously, but yeah. Otherwise, I mean, mac and cheese, brisket, hot dog, beef. I mean,
kind of like everything
sauce.
You get on a plate without a bun.
I think we need to import that. We stole several things from their stadium. Yeah. Might as well get the Mac Daddy dog, too.
You're in on that?
Okay, wait. Yeah. The dog, brisket, mac and cheese, bun, pickle, fried pickle chips, right?
Yes, with a little barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Feels like a win to me. Yeah. I just would, like, why can't we get a foot-long brat situation going? I feel like we're doing all these foot-long, just run-of-the-mill ballpark dogs. Why aren't we doing foot-long brats?
I think brats are traditionally not
longer
cased that way.
Huh.
That's the
point. Too filling.
Yeah, brats, the way they're cased, are like a certain length to them. Like the hot dog, you can play with the casing. But with brats, it's a little bit of a different story there.
Shout out to the 972 mentions Tropic Thunder is a great Coke movie.
Okay.
Jack Black in that movie is fiending his balls
That's
off.
That's right.
Tying himself to the tree.
214 says American Gangster with Denzel, but I believe that's a heroin movie. I believe Blue Magic's
heroin.
Yeah. But good stuff.
Shout out to Will Blair, by the way. Big time Tolo. Actually, one of the few that landed the Rangers boob hat. Went unbelievably viral with his photo opening the box with the hat in there. And I mean, I'm talking about millions of views on Twitter and whatnot. He just texted in saying that he went to Kansas City for work a month ago. And he said the Z-Man sandwich that we just mentioned at the Royals Park, I guess he somehow got a taste of it, and he says it's amazing.
Right on. Yeah, Kansas City does good work.
That's a guy who knows how to eat as well.
Yeah. Whenever I hear Kansas City, I'm like, okay, what have they got going? Yeah. All right. What else do we have here, G-Bag Nation? That's it. Okay, we got to run. When we come back, we'll cross-talk with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Monday night. We're back in the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. And thanks to Red Robin for inventing the onion ring burger back in 1969 with its Whiskey River barbecue burger. Then Dairy Queen picked up the baton and ran with it furiously in the 90s, and Sonic came around and we want to salute them for it. Okay, it's time to salute the Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have coming up here for you on a Monday night on the Fan. Gentlemen, good evening. How the heck are you?
Feeling great. Adios, amigos and amigas. It's good to be back in the saddle. You know, when you have
goodbye. What? You said adios.
Oh, I did say adios.
Goodbye.
Not even here yet. Just left.
Hola. Not adios. Not adios yet. Tomorrow, stay tuned for a quick adios. That's we're only on for 30 minutes. Here. We're in and out. Best
Blake
way.
Can you miss it?
Blake and you miss it? Is that what we said, or Blink?
Blink.
I like Blake and you miss it.
New segment.
30-minute show tomorrow?
30 minutes.
That's it.
So, and two of our four segments are crosstalks. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, two of our three, show. Actually.
No, because we got crosstalk with them. Yeah. Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
So two one segment and crosstalk again.
That's it. So.
We're right on. It should be a fun evening.
It'll be fun. You figure I'll fight traffic for about an hour.
Okay.
To get here. So I might leave a little bit earlier than usual. So we'll see.
Write down 4 on the timesheet. Everybody's happy.
Exactly.
Call it good.
That's exactly.
Well, gentlemen, it is dinner time. How about this? The Texas House has set a hearing to name the tomahawk ribeye as the state's official steak.
There you go.
So okay. I would support that. I think it's a
Texas Strip, though, is another thing we were working on, right?
The Texas Strip could be a thing as well.
I thought they were working on that. I think we got that. I think we got that going off right now.
Okay.
I think there's some steak places that are going that direction. I think Bob's Steak and Chop is going that way.
Calling it the Texas Strip?
Yes.
Okay.
What's another state's steak that they choose? To kind of give comparison, like, does somebody have the filet, like Seattle the filet?
Well, there's a Kansas City Strip.
There's a Kansas City Strip and the New York Strip.
And that's it.
But I think so.
And they're trying to give Texas their own version of those steaks.
Well, I don't think that the rest of the steak world would recognize this. Texas just wants to claim the tomahawk ribeye as their own.
Could someone else claim it? It's more so what I'm asking.
I think they could. I think other states could at this point. But, you know, we could always
take it over. Why not? Texas.
I like that, stake it over. So what do you think is the one food that's indigenous to Texas and nowhere else? Did I use that word right? Indigenous?
Indigenous, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Indigenous.
What food?
I was really close.
What
was
food
good.
Is most Texas would have to be brisket, if you ask me.
Like,
I know
can't
chili.
Really get it anywhere else, and it is the best in Texas. Is it brisket? That would be the answer you would select?
I mean, you can get good brisket other places.
Yeah, I mean.
So do we have one if we can't come up with an answer? We do a lot of things good.
I think barbecued beef is probably our best thing, but there's a couple other states that do it very well.
Yeah,
I wonder.
I think we do Tex-Mex probably the best.
Yeah.
Probably do chili the best.
There you go. Is there a food, though? We're naming subcategories of types of food.
You're just talking about a full like
cuisine?
Barbecue.
Yeah. pasta in Italy or pizza in New York. You know, what is Texas?
I might be wrong about this.
It's barbecue.
I think we crush everybody in queso.
That's a solid one.
I don't have much pushback.
I don't think because.
But you can get queso other places.
But it's not.
You're just saying the best is here.
The absolute best, the way that it's dolled up and the way they put things in it here is better. Than anywhere
else. I'll say this, though. Hey, I've been to some places.
California's pretty close on a lot of
lackluster
things.
Lackluster with some of the queso I've eaten around here.
You got to be careful ordering queso.
You do. You absolutely do.
You got to be careful.
No, I'm with you on that.
80, close to a return. Does this offend you?
Whatever. I mean.
We're going to get into it, but I feel like that would be worst case scenario, him coming back. I truly do. That would be the worst thing that could happen to the Mavs right now if AD came back. And this is me not seeing what would happen after, but I do think it would be the worst case scenario. And we'll get into why during our show.
Looking forward to that. What else is coming up on the show?
We're going to tease it for tomorrow, and then we'll follow up and debate based on what people respond to today. Obviously, we heard from some of the Cowboys today, the new Cowboys, so we're excited. We'll hear about we'll listen to that. We got our guy Jess Haney from Blog of the Boys. He's going to jump on with us. We'll just talk a little trash with him. Top five today, top five all-time green and or Irish people in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Mm. So.
Green? Oh, people with the last name Green.
No, just Green.
Green people.
Green in general.
Wow.
Green in general, like, you know, like in...
Green Lantern.
Maybe Green Lantern, maybe Shrek. Okay, maybe Kermit makes an appearance. Maybe Oscar the Grouch.
Irish have a long history of playing sports well? How are we doing here? I'm about 15% Irish,
boxing,
by the way.
Gaeling, Hurley,
Conor McGregor.
I was going to say, outside boxing, of Conor McGregor and...
Rugby.
Yeah.
Probably rugby, all right.
Rugby.
But who's like an Irish...
Notre Dame football team?
You know?
That count?
I think that does.
They are leprechauns. Do we give a leprechaun enough love?
Yeah.
They got a whole cereal.
Have you guys seen the commercial or the video that's been viral today about the when they saw the leprechaun in Alabama?
It could be a crackhead.
It's an all timer, bro.
Oh, I've seen a leprechaun. Say yeah. All of them lying. Yeah.
That was before viral was a thing, man.
It was, dude.
That was like Bub Rubbin' Little Sis. You guys remember Bub Rubbin' Little Sis?
No.
In Oakland, it makes you go woo woo. And that's woo,
that woo, woo.
Yeah. Bubba Little Sis. That was viral.
They
before.
Put those whistles on the cars.
That's just only in the morning. That's like an alarm clock or something. So, you know, this is kind of the vibe we'll have today.
I had to miss out on that moment because I didn't understand a single reference Fred just made. So I just sat here quietly.
It was entertaining.
I just looked at Chief to see if he knew.
You got to go with the leprechaun one, dude.
The other 40-plus-year-old did, though, so that's okay. Yeah.
Right on. Well, here they come, the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. You get 4 hours tonight, only 30 minutes tomorrow before the Rangers game is on. Thanks to Lucius Alexander over there in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went five flawless once again, thanks to Chiafalo. Wolchuk working with the KNC Masterpiece there with Heggie over the next couple of days, so send him some love on social. Let him know he's missed. Thanks to Broadus. And I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.